All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 80 in this American History program of History at Our House for the junior and senior high class. As I mentioned yesterday, today's lecture is not material that's going to be on the upcoming test. So it's a little bit of a break for you. You don't have to take in some new content and new material and immediately assimilate it and reproduce it on the test. You get to take a little bit of a break. So hopefully your test preparation exercise is going well with the content of the previous 4 weeks, and that's all that's required for the upcoming test. What I wanted to do today was give you a kind of preview of the history that's coming up. Because American history is going to take a turn. American history is going to change in a really important way in the final 100 years that we're going to observe. And America is going to become a different kind of country. And so this gives rise to a whole new set of questions for us, a whole new set of challenges in terms of understanding the history. Because up till now, much of the history we've studied and much of what we've been concerned with has just been understanding how America came to be and what it was by design, what it is as a unique country and civilization in the world. And, you know, the prompt for our thinking in that regard has simply been, so all very often with the facts that we are examining, is these facts matter because there would be no United States of America without dot, dot, dot. Right? We've been looking at that. We'll continue to do that because it is a valid and important perspective on facts in the past. However, now that we are getting closer and closer to the present day, we're going to find that, well, already, in fact, we've moved past the point where that's the most useful way of thinking of things. We're not talking about now the existence of the United States at all. There was, you know, remember in the Civil War, there was somewhat of an issue of whether or not the United States would even exist. So, yes, I think that's about where that question ended. There would be no United States of America, dot, 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 without the Civil War. Because if we have the Civil War, then we have secession, then we have slavery, we have the breakup of the continent into different political chunks, and it's quite possible that there literally is no United States of America. So that prompt for our thinking is still kind of useful up until the Civil War. But once you hit the Civil War, once that's done, and Reconstruction has occurred, and the country's been put back together again, then that's it. That one is now over. That one is settled. The United States is a colossus at that point. It's a huge country because it's going all the way from Maine to California. And everything in between, and it's growing to include Alaska at that point, and it's just a huge country, very populous, very large. I mean, it's never going away. So it becomes a permanent thing at that point. So there's no more, it's not really a question anymore of the United States existing. So we need a new prompt to study history. Because that one won't do anymore. It's just not relevant anymore. So we're gonna need a new prompt. And that new prompt has to do with what America is like today. Right? So, I mean, that ultimately is what we are interested in when we study history. People often make the mistake of thinking, well, history is about the past. And that's not true. The past is what we study in order to understand the way the world is today. That's its proper purpose. It's not an end in itself. We don't live in the past. We don't pursue our happiness in the past. We live here and now. And we are looking for powerful knowledge to help us do that. So our main concern when we study history is the world as we see it today, and in particular, of course, because it's an America-centric world, and we're living in it, America in particular, the question that we're interested in is, how did America come to be the way that it is today? That's our new prompt. That's our new, I mean, it's always been the case that that's relevant to us. But now we're going to be more focused in how we look at history, because the events that we are going to witness in part six, the last 100 years, represent a crucial transformation in America, in American culture, and in America's role in the world, consequently, and in the life that we lead in America. All of these things are radically different because of the events that have unfolded over the last 100 years. And, well, as a result, America is something that now that it wasn't before. And that's what we need to know more about because, like I said, we're living in it. This is the world around us today. And I thought of introducing this to you a little bit here by showing you some news headlines from around the world. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you. And so I just went to a whole bunch of global websites that I sometimes peruse because I like to see what the news is all around the world, not just in America. So one of the ones that I often go to is the BBC. So the BBC is the British Broadcasting Corporation, very famous kind of global news provider that's non-American. And, you know, right away, I see a bunch of things on here. For one thing, notice that the BBC has a whole section called, right on its top page, right in, you know, the most prominent spot in its entire website, practically, other than the main headline, is what? British Broadcasting Corporation, America. So that's kind of an interesting fact all by itself there, that it jumps out at you, that this is British, and yet that is something that you see right away, is an American content. But not only that, and this was kind of my main point here, was notice the top headline on the BBC has to do with what? The top headline in Britain has to do with what America is doing in the world today. Right? In particular, Iraq and this place, this thing now that exists called the Islamic State. Okay? So, this is really crucial. This is the main headline in the BBC. Now, if we go over, and it's not always the case on every single website in the world, but I just went over to the Times of India. I just thought, okay, what other kinds of countries out there can we take a look at to see what they're thinking of today? And the Times of India top news item today has to do with something called the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Now, you don't need to worry about what that is these days. It's too early for you guys to study that particular topic. Except, I'll tell you, that the IMF is dominated by the United States. So, the International Monetary Fund is basically a global financial institution that is dominated by the United States. So, here we have the top headline in India today has to do with a global institution that is pretty much run by the United States. And what that means for India, right? And then the last example of another website is called the, this is the Australia Broadcasting Corporation. So, you know, I'm kind of going around the world here to different places where you would see English headlines, especially. You can pretty much find English headlines in every country of the world. If you go to Japan or China, you'll see English language newspapers as well. But again, now what's on the front page? Well, this is more kind of related to Australia. And yet, here's kind of something strange, right? We recognize this guy. What is this doing on an Australian website? Isn't that peculiar? This is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. What is this doing here? So there is more stuff about the Islamic State. So that's obviously related to what the United States is doing and the fact that Australia is involved in that. But it is kind of peculiar as well that there's a cultural headline here that has to do with the United States. So why is this the case? Why is it that we can go to a British website and America is the, what it's doing in Iraq is the number one headline? We go to India and what financial institution dominated by the United States is the top headline. We go to Australian news website and we find a cultural reference to Abraham Lincoln. Why is that? Isn't that strange? And we know in part why that is. We know that it's because of globalization. We know that the cultures of the world are more interconnected than ever. Right? But the common denominator here, and which is the case no matter where you go, no matter what country you're looking at the headlines, you will find items that have to do with the United States. That's the one thing that is unique here. Bria, go ahead.
Well, because another reason would be because everybody, it matters if America's going to war with Britain, then everybody else is going to be impacted by that. So it's kind of important to know what's going on in other places.
Okay, right. So your example is a little, is not realistic because America's never going to go to war with Britain. Britain is America's closest ally in the world. But if you're thinking of some other country, let's say Japan or, no, not Japan either because that's a bad example. China or some other country like ISIS, of course. The United States is already technically at war with ISIS or Russia. In the issue of the Ukraine, right? If we go to an American website, CNN, for instance, then we can see that, well, what are Americans paying attention to other than the fact that their own government officials are so corrupt and do terrible things like steal their luggage at the airport? There's other terrible things going on. And you notice that the top headline has to do with Iran. So we got this new breaking news here. It has to do with Iran. Okay. Top stories, Iran. Okay. And then a bunch of other stuff. Right. And so that means that in American culture, what the United States is doing with regard to this other country on the other side of the world, Iran, is really important. So why is that? How is it that America is featured on everybody else's websites and other countries are featured on America's websites and it's so important? What is now new and different about the world that we live in? That was not the case in the founding, and it was not the case all the way past the Civil War, all the way up into modern times. Something changed. Let's get rid of this headline because it's just annoying. Let's just go back to our anchor fact timeline. More pleasant visual for us all. So we live in a world today where everybody wakes up and asks themselves the same question. Now, every world leader, every country in the world is always first thing that comes to mind. And the second thing, if it's not the first thing, is what will America do today? Every country's got its own business to take care of, but but beyond whatever's going on internally within a certain country, the main thing that leaders are going to be concerned with, whether they're Russian or Chinese or Brazilian or Indian or whatever, is what is America going to do today? So why is that? Why is that the kind of the characteristic question that we see? We see it in the news sites that we were just looking at. And it's definitely the case that this is the top question now. Keen, go ahead.
Well, it's because, like we talked about at the beginning of the year, America is the preeminent country, and that involves they're the most militarily powerful, they have the most money, they have the most political influence and political power. And because we live in a globalized world, if America does something, everyone else has to react, and every lots of little things and big things a lot of the time shift in reaction to what the United States does.
Yeah, right. Okay, well put. Right. Now, so yeah, America is the world's superpower, economically, culturally, militarily, all of those things combined. It is by far the most important country today. And so, as Keen says, when America moves, everything shifts. Whatever America does, everything shifts. So it's of global significance. So now, there are a couple parts to that, that are a couple things that have changed, that are different from the way things were when America was founded. So in 1776, when America declares its independence and it fights its war of independence and becomes a country in the world, this was not true. Right? It was not true that everybody in the world would ask itself, what is America going to do today? In 1776, almost nobody was interested in that question. Britain was interested, France, Spain. That's about it. Pretty much nobody else cared. So why is that? What are the reasons why that has changed? Is an interesting, important question. And there are two answers to that. So why did nobody care? One, pretty much in the world, when the United States was formed. Why is that a different kind of, why does history have that different character back then? In 1776, America's creating the greatest government that's ever been. Why wouldn't anybody care? What's wrong with those people? Alexander?
Well, there are several reasons that I can see.
Okay.
First of all, communication was a lot slower.
Oh, okay.
And partly because communication was a lot slower and travel was definitely a lot slower. It would take you a month, maybe probably more than a month. I don't know how long exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess more than a month to get to America. So, since communication goes at the speed of travel, like you said, it would take a month for the news to get there. But it's also so far away that it doesn't affect most people, or at least they don't feel that it affects most people. And another thing is, most of the monarchs, they don't like this brand new government, so they're not really trying to spread the news of this.
Okay. All right. Those are two good ones. You want to say more?
No, that's it for now.
Okay. All right. So, one answer, that's an excellent answer, Alexander. So, pre-industrial revolution, the level of connectivity in the globalized world is much less. Absolutely true. Excellent point. So, everybody feels less connected. There's a delay in events occurring to, you know, and the news traveling and the significance of events kind of being transmitted to everybody else. It takes a long time, and so there's less connection. That's a good point. And your point about them not liking America, that doesn't quite work, that particular point. Because liking is not the same thing as caring. right? So the truth is, most of them didn't even care, which is not the same thing. Because caring has to do with what? You know, liking or disliking has to do with whether or not something is good or bad. Caring at all has to do with what? That crucial historical abstraction. You only care about something when it is... ... Keen?
Important.
Important, exactly. So America just was not important. The Emperor of China did not care. He was in his middle kingdom over there with all of his 500 million Chinamen under his power, and he was just like a bug in a rug. He was just happy, and he didn't care what was going on the other side of the ocean. And he didn't even care what was going on in Britain. And he was going to pretty soon, because they were coming. But, you know, apart from Britain and France and Spain, just about, the only countries that had a stake in North America, nobody else cared what America was doing. Russia didn't care. Germany didn't care. Italy didn't care. They had their own business. This was too far away. It had nothing to do with them. So, yeah, it was the world was globalized, but less so. And America just wasn't important anymore. Yeah, so, and the technology of so far of connecting everybody was a lot less. So all of that's relevant. That's true. There's something else, though. There's something else. So those are all good points. You know, Industrial Revolution, the relative importance of America. Why else was it just not a big deal? Cliff?
Well, America wasn't as powerful. It just didn't have the influence that it has now.
Okay, so that's kind of related to what we already said, but I like your formulation, so that's a good extra little bit here. Why did people not care? Well, because America wasn't powerful. That was definitely one of the reasons why, right? So it's basically a country that's on its own, or now you're declaring itself, and it doesn't have the power to affect things anywhere else. So that's part of the reason why they didn't care. Okay, good. So nowadays, that's definitely true. What Alexander said, Industrial Revolution, right? So anything that happens today, it's on the internet within minutes, right? So the connection, because of technology, is much greater between between all the different parts of the world. That's true. And as Cliff points out, America is much more powerful now than it once was. So that matters a lot, too. But there's something else. There's something else. And this is going to be our key theme, basically, in terms of moving forward here with American history. And it has to do with America's posture towards the rest of the world. People would not wake up today, president of Russia and the premier of the Chinese Communist Party and whatever, the Prime Minister of India, they wouldn't all wake up today and ask themselves, what is America going to do today? If America still had a certain posture towards the rest of the world, they really would not concern themselves with America if the United States still had the posture towards the world that it did in the time of the founders. So this is the thing that we are going to study now in this modern time, is that America now has a different way of interacting with the rest of the world. When Britain and France went to war, right, in George Washington's time, what did he say? What was Washington's famous proclamation? We know Lincoln's proclamation. What was Washington's famous proclamation? Proclamation of... What was the concept? Britain and France are at war, so what do we do? Juliet?
We wouldn't interfere.
We're going to stay neutral. We're going to stay apart from all that. All right? And the same thing goes. Remember what John Adams wanted on his tombstone? And he was, of all the things he had done as the founding father of the United States, he says, when I die, I will be perfectly happy if they put this on my tombstone. Here lies John Adams, who made sure that America stayed out of war with France. No war with France. Thomas Jefferson wants to do the Louisiana Purchase. Why? To keep France out of America. Monroe wants to fight against Britain. Why? Because in the War of 1812, that seems like kind of an exception here, but because Americans are being attacked by the British, and they're supposed to keep out. They're supposed to leave Americans alone. So James Monroe is really the final, crucial founding father in this particular regard because of what he said, because of his Monroe Doctrine. He says to the rest of the world, your way of life is fundamentally different than ours. So stay out. Keep away from us. We don't want anything to do with you. We know that you don't understand freedom and that you don't value it. And therefore, we don't want you endangering the rights of Americans because we stand for something new. We need to be apart from you to develop this new culture of ours. So we're going to stay out of your business because it doesn't do us any good to get entangled in your affairs that have nothing to do with us. And we want you to stay out of our business because we're a republic. We stand for individual rights. We want a chance to make a new society based on this set of ideas. We can't do that if you're meddling in our affairs. So keep out. The Monroe Doctrine was directed against the European superpowers, and it said, stay out of the Americas. Don't want you meddling in our affairs in this part of the world. So that was America's posture to the rest of the world. It was basically a policy of independence, which translated into neutrality, a policy of pure self-defense. So now, if America had maintained that policy strictly, and today, for instance, as you might know, Ukraine and Russia are involved in some kind of mini crisis, where there are parts of Ukraine that want to break away from that country and be a part of Russia. So there's a kind of independence movement inside of Ukraine, pro-Russian versus pro-Ukrainian. A little bit of kind of a civil war, basically, within Ukraine. What everybody's asking themselves is, what will America do? Now, if America had maintained the posture of the founding fathers, that simply would not be the question. Nobody would ask that question. Right? Nobody would ask the president of Russia and the president of Ukraine, they wouldn't wake up in the morning and ask themselves what they have to do to kind of either get America more involved or keep America out or figure out what America is going to do and react to that. That wouldn't be the question. They wouldn't think of it at all. We'd be in a very, very different world if that policy was maintained. So it wasn't. It wasn't. So we live in a world now where it is taken for granted by Americans and by the rest of the world that anything that goes wrong anywhere in the world probably has some, involves some kind of American involvement, whether it's Ukraine or Pakistan or Syria, Egypt, you name it, it doesn't matter what country. Everybody assumes, and Americans assume, that it has something to do with them and that America will react or intervene or play some sort of crucial role there. So What we're going to, that's kind of what we're going to be looking to explain or understand as we study modern American history. And is this world police power conduct? How did it happen? Why is the world like this right now today? So we're gonna be studying the history. We're gonna be collecting some new anchor facts. And the common denominator here in our study of all these events is this new prompt that I've been promising you, this new kind of way of looking at the events from history. We're not now concerned with, okay, how did America even come to be, or is there going to be an America? Our new prompt is going to work like this. The United States would not be the country it is today without dot, dot, dot. Okay, so notice the difference, the kind of shift in our orientation and thinking. We used to look at events and we would say, there would be no United States of America today without dot, dot, dot. Right? There would be no United States of America without the discovery of America. There would be no United States of America without the successful English colonization of America. Right? So we've got these facts already. I've actually got the wrong one on my screen, don't we? Don't I? This is the junior senior high one. Sorry. All right. But now we're going to change our prompt. We want to have a more present-centric orientation to history, more intensively relating to what we see around us, relating to the world that we're living in. It's not the original America that we're living in. It's the America of 2015. So our new prompt to get a better understanding and to make this history that we're studying as relevant as it can be is going to be, the United States would not be the country it is today without dot, dot, dot. So I want to try this one out with you guys today. I want to take the events that we've seen already and use it, that prompt. And I want to walk you through some of the new events that we're going to be seeing as well. And think of history that way now. So the first one I want you to do, I want you to think of, is this one here, because this is our most recent. This is, you know, obviously this is our test material of the Civil War. So how would you formulate your anchor fact awareness here of the Civil War in that way? Right? Because now actually you can do it both ways. So this would be kind of cool. I like the Civil War as an anchor fact because you can do it both ways. You could do the Civil War like this. You could say, there would be no United States today without dot, dot, dot. You could also do, the United States would not be the country it is today without dot, dot, dot. Pick one. Try it out. Which one do you think you can do with the Civil War? Alexander, go ahead.
Well, I'll start with the simple one. The United States would not be the way that it is today without the Civil War abolishing slavery.
There you go. That's it. That's the one. Yeah, you're right. It is a little bit of an easier one because it's more straightforward. So the United States would not be the country today that does not have slavery, right, without the Civil War of 1861 to 65. That's it. That's exactly right. Okay, good. Now, the other one is perhaps, right, more interpretive, more equivocal, because it's not necessarily true. I mean, There would be no... is it true to say there would be no United States today without the Civil War? Because I think that it is true. So remember, I made that map of the world without the Civil War. That's definitely one way that it could have turned out, right? But Timothy says yes. What's your thought there, Timothy?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
My thought is that there would be no United States of America today without the Civil War because it wouldn't be united.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a basic, good, straightforward formulation, right? It wouldn't be united, so there was no United States. So that's one way of looking at it. But I would take it further than that. I would take it further to say that there wouldn't even be a country called the USA. I don't think it would even exist. In other words, if the CSA broke off, then you got the northern states left. I don't even think those states would have stayed together. I don't think it would have been possible. And, you know, one of the reasons why is, as we discussed, if the principle of secession became embedded in American government, if that precedent became operative, I think that would have been devastating to the United States. I think that would have represented just an impossible situation, and the U.S. would not have been able to maintain its unity over time, given all the stressors of world politics and all the things that are going to happen. So because, for the very reasons that the founders were worried about, that the different states had too many different interests and could easily have gotten into quarrels and arguments and eventually even wars or intrigues, international intrigues that would have broken them apart. So yeah, I think that it's possible to say the United States would not even exist had the Civil War not occurred. It would just be unrecognizable. There would be a CSA with slavery, and the rest of the world would just be cataclysmically different, and the United States might not even exist. Wow. Okay. What else? Now, I want to kind of give you the preview of World War I and World War II here. So, yeah, but we can do this one too, right? This one has always been that way. The terrorist attacks of 9/11/2001. We've had this anchor fact from the start because we live in the war on terror today. Right? So this anchor fact has always been that way. It's never been an anchor fact that says there would be no United States without the attacks of 9/11. Now, that doesn't make sense, right? So we've never approached that fact from that perspective. But now that we have this new prompt in our thinking that's more present-centric, we're ready to, you know, obviously, that's the one that we would use to interpret this event, right? The United States would not be the country it is today, embroiled in a global war on terror, were it not for the attacks of 9/11. The United States would still be the world police power, but it would not be involved in there wouldn't be a war on terror because terrorism would not have become this dramatically compelling American problem. We'd still have the Twin Towers. America wouldn't have to deal with this trauma of being attacked in the homeland, and the world would be a different place. So that's the most immediate one that we can do here. But then on the other hand, we have these other two facts that are anchor facts that I want you to have kind of going forward. And then we're even going to practice even before we're going to do facts practice now. In case you hadn't noticed, on the class webpage, there's a new facts practice. We're going to include this one. We're going to include these facts. And the facts practice entries look basically like this. Let me bring it up on my screen here. There it is. All right. So the facts practice entries on your new facts practice sheets. I just made an entry for those. You can get the facts practice right off the class webpage now. And the two that we haven't spent much time talking about yet, World War I and World War II, are on there. And they're on there because I want you to have this kind of expectation and anticipation that we are going to talk about America as a world police power. And the question we're going to be interested to answer is, why is America a world police power? The Founding Fathers advocated the opposite. The Founding Fathers advocated to minimize. Remember, this was George Washington's advice to America. Minimize political connection with the rest of the world. That's a very specific piece of advice. Keep it at a minimum. America today, just it couldn't be more opposite. Couldn't be more opposite. The premise is that America will involve itself, no matter what it is. So it's the premise is now America will always be involved, whatever it is, which is the opposite. Couldn't be more involved because it's involved in everything. As opposed to, don't get involved in anything, is what George Washington is trying to say. America is now the opposite. So how did that come to be? Well, the crucial milestone in America becoming a world police power is World War I. Okay, so in World War I, the United States decided to save Europe from the German Empire. And that was its first great commitment to acting differently. So one of the things we're going to do in American history is, how did we go from one to the other? Why did Americans basically jettison the Founding Fathers and choose to act differently in the world? Why did they reject George Washington's advice? Because they did. Which is pretty shocking, because the Founding Fathers are supposed to be the greatest, you know, and they are the greatest leaders in American history. So why don't we follow their advice? Something happened. So America decided to save Europe from the German Empire in World War I. And it did such a bad job of it, I'm sorry to say, that they had to do it again. In World War II, the German Empire became Nazi Germany. And Japan learned its lesson from World War I and then said, oh yeah, if you want to be a bully, you can get away with it. So it joined in. And America had to save the entire world in World War II. Which it did. And ever since, America's stuck. It seemingly. Ever since, America has been the obvious world police power. Everybody expects exactly the same thing in the world. So this is what we're going to be observing in the last part of the course. This evolution in American history from the independent America of the founders to the world police power that is America today. How did our world come to be the way that it is if America started out one way? Why is it the opposite now? That's our question. All right. Well, that's about it. So, you can see the facts practice on the class webpage. We're not going to do it this week. I might introduce it to you guys next week, but these are the entries, right? So I'll post this to the class webpage just so you can have the prompts and you'll have some of the older facts that we've done before. And we're also going to have to decide in this class whether or not we're going to add more anchor facts, because we certainly can, right? So I hope we'll have some time to do one more anchor fact investigation and add a few more. because I think you guys can handle it. So we'll have to see about that as well. But anyway, we'll start some new fax practices next week. So for now, stay focused on your task preparation, of course. That's your number one task over the next 2 days that you still have to do it. And we'll check up on your answers on Thursday. Of course, tomorrow is History Through Art. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Mr. Bell.
Bye-bye.